going to read to you from Exodus chapter 14, and I'm going to read our text to you so you can see there on the screen, or you have your Bible open, and I want you to follow along as we are looking at as God delivers the children of Israel from the edge of the Red Sea while they're being pursued by Egypt. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea, and I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind, and all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horsemen, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. What an exciting account that we see. They were hemmed in. They were cornered, if you will. You know, there's obstacles that we face in our life today. Maybe you're thinking and feeling that I'm stuck. You ever feel the place that you're just stuck in a place that you can't get out of, or facing a problem that just seems bigger than you could ever overcome? So was Israel on this day. But one thing that we have to remind ourselves is that while we're facing those obstacles, God is growing us. While we're looking for a way out, God is looking for a way to prove his glory and his power. And such he did here on the edge of the Red Sea. He did the impossible. While Israel was unable to do anything, God was able to do everything. Amen? There's no obstacle too big. There's no obstacle too long that he is not able to overcome. There's nothing that you're facing today that will keep you from the love of God, that will keep his healing hand from working in your life, that will keep his eternal power from accomplishing his will and purpose in your life today. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's prepare our hearts and minds to come before his throne of mercy. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for the incredible illustrations and the life events of the scriptures that stir our hearts to remind us that, Lord, there's nothing too big that you cannot face it down, that you cannot have victory, and that you can prove to any and all, once and for all, that you truly are the one and only true God. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your word. We thank you for people that are unable and weak, just the same as we are, but yet we're able to see your great power working in and through our lives. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here and worship. I thank you that they haven't restricted us, that we can't come together and worship at all. Lord, help us as we navigate the requirements and the needs of our community and our people. We pray for those that are concerns and battling with the coronavirus. We pray your protection upon them, your healing upon them. Lord, protect our congregation as we come together. Keep us safe. And Lord, we lift up your name, the name of Jesus, to give him honor and glory. Because Lord, you are our Savior, you are our King and our Creator, and you are worthy, and only you are worthy of our praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, obstacles. Can we grow while we're facing obstacles? The answer is yes. We can grow, and God will grow us as we follow him, as we seek him. Now, I want to remind you as we kind of get back into the Exodus series, as we've been following along. Last week, we were looking at how that the children of Israel were sent out of Egypt. They were delivered, and they got away from the rule and reign of Pharaoh, but yet Pharaoh's heart was changed, and we see that he decides to pursue them once again. Even after all of the plagues that were done, after God had proven in such a powerful way, we see that he changes his mind and goes after them once again. Well, we find the children of Israel going a certain path. Now, as we looked at, we see that there was a path that might have been shorter, but yet it went through the land of the Philistines, and God says, we're not going to take them that way lest they decide to return back again. They get too scared. And so God has his hand on them the whole time in guiding them and planning where that they will go that is best for them, but ultimately to bring honor and glory to himself. And so he leads them into the wilderness and in such a place that he even knew that Pharaoh would look at it and say, they're hemmed in. They've got nowhere to go. And so he pursues in hot pursuit to overtake them once again. They're on the edge of the Red Sea, mountains on both sides, the Egyptian army coming up on them hot and heavy. And if you remember the last message, we actually, a key part of that was verse 13. As he says, stand still. I don't know about you, but that's probably one of the hardest things to do when things are troubling, when things are difficult, when things are unsure, is to just stand still and wait on him. For me, personally, that's the hardest one. But one thing I wanted us to notice is, and I'm going to read that again for our first point, is that we go from standing still to go forward. And let's read verse 13 again. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now verse 15, I want to see. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Go forward. Now in this, you might read that and you think that, well, this is confusing, right? Well, when he was talking to them about standing still, he was saying to stand your ground, amen? And we covered that about 2 weeks ago. He said, now you stand your ground, you stay steady, you stay persistent, you remain in what my plan is. I know all that's going on around you. I know it's shaking you to the core. In fact, they were accusing Moses to say, well, weren't there enough places to bury us in Egypt? He had to bring us out here in the wilderness to die. Isn't it odd that when we begin to fear, that is when we make the least sense, right? Our thinking is not clear. Our attitudes are not clear because fear can confuse those things when we begin to fail in our believing and trusting in Christ. And folks, that's the same today. That's the same today. When we see the fear was overtaking them, then they lash out at Moses, which in reality they're lashing out at God, and saying that we don't trust what you're doing. So they cry out to God. Moses comes before the Lord and he cries out to God. And then finally God says, look, stop crying out to me. Go out and tell them we're moving forward. So now it's interesting. We're not staying anymore, but we're moving. But they're moving in faith. This was a call to faithfulness. This was a call to action to act upon that faith. This was a call to action to trust in what God is doing as he has laid out before them. You remember here in the verse he says that, look, you will see the salvation of the Lord today. You will see the destruction of the Egyptian army today. So they knew what was going on. They had the knowledge of what God is planning to do. They have the knowledge of what they're going to do. You're going to cross the sea. Now, can you imagine in their hearts and minds, what does that look like? Well, nobody knows what that looks like because no one had ever done it before. Amen. Not always will we see and understand how God is going to accomplish all of these things and where the end result of that will land, but God knows. He knows the path. Only God knew that there was a path. If you remember, and again, it was 2 weeks ago, then in the book of Psalm, it says that under the sea there was a pathway. Under the sea there was a highway that God had prepared to deliver Israel. But they had to go in faith. And with this call, we see that this is not something that the children of Israel was going to bring about their own salvation, their own deliverance. They were just as helpless on the edge of the sea as they were in the middle of the sea, and just as helpless on the other side of the sea. Everything that they did in this command that says, Moses, go tell them to move forward, was an act of faith, not an act of self-preservation. Not an act of self-help, self-growth, self-salvation, which we are so permeated with in our society today, is everything is what I can do for myself and what I can accomplish on my own. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. Whatever it may be, what we accomplish on our own is not what God is talking about here in point one. Are you with me, church? They were fully reliant upon God. They had to trade their fear for a trusting of what God was about to do and confidence in what he was about to accomplish. And so we see that they were moving forward based upon their faith and trusting of what God's glorious deliverance was about to accomplish, a great victory for them. The very same way that we entrust in the power of God today. Are you following and going forward based upon God's word? In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so as we see in Scripture, it's reminded, church, are we willing to move forward? There is a time and a place that we must put faith into action. Here's something that even within my own life was a bit of a aha moment, isn't there? When we come to the Lord, there's a time to pray. There's a time to cry out to the Lord. There's a time to study and to analyze and to search. And Brother Juan, you've probably gone through a lot of research, analyzing, praying, would you agree? And your preparation and ministry and such. And there's a time that continues. And so in this message, I'm not trying to encourage you to take a knee-jerk reaction and just respond to God without praying and seeking counsel and whatever it is in the preparation that we have. But we come to an understanding that there's a place that the praying will stop. The research will stop, the analyzing will stop, and God has already given us all the answers to all of those needs, and it becomes a time that we pick up in faith and we follow God's plan. They were at this place. It was time to stop blaming others for the problem. Remember, they're yelling at Moses, "Why in the world did you bring us here? Why is it that God is doing this? Why is it that it makes me feel so uncomfortable? Why is this not what I planned and what I hoped for? Why is it that I'm not getting what I wanted or what I feel like I need?" Are you with me? All those need to stop and then pick up in faith and say, "God, wherever you lead, that's where we'll go." Are you ready to make that commitment to the Lord? Are you ready to trust Him enough that you're willing to put all that you have and all that you are on the line? Are you even willing to come to a place and say, "God, if I fail today, it's on you. If we have victory, it's all you." Amen? Are you willing to give it all to Him? But here's the reality. You show me one place in Scripture where He's failed. Amen? It hasn't happened, and nor will it. And so that's it's a hypothetical, it's a suggestion that we'll never have, because those who are trusting in Him have no fear, because we're growing and learning to love Him. You know, when God was trying to move them forward, we see that God is protecting them. If you remember in the scripture, it says that He was in the cloud, and that He, in leading them, He was a pillar of cloud at day and a pillar of fire at night. We see that He was leading the children of Israel. Well, then once they come to the edge of the Red Sea, they couldn't go any farther for a moment, that we see that God removes from the front and goes to the back. And He's protecting them. He is watching over them. But you know, how is it that we move forward? Sometimes we would rather retreat from the obstacle as it is to stay put and move forward to see victory. Well, here's something that I begin to realize, is that when we look at this, the children of Israel were at a place that was impassable. It was inescapable. There was no way that they could avoid this situation. God put them in a place that they could not turn anywhere else to anyone else. Have you been there? Sometimes it's a fearful time, isn't it? But yet if we stay there in fear, we fail to see the victory. But yet when we move forward in faith, we can experience those victories. How is it that He directs? Does this mean that He's going to remove us from every obstacle? Is He going to remove us from any fear? No. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, I want you to see that word, therefore. It's a call to action. Since we have seen that God has given us victory over death through Jesus, therefore, we're going to take action. So here's the action. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so therefore, He says, I want you to move forward, because this is not in vain. This is not a useless exercise, but yet it's going to bring glory to my name, but it's going to bring growth to your faith. So be steadfast and immovable. So how is it that you need to move forward today? That's a question that only you can answer between you and the Lord. What is it that He's convicting you about today, that you're facing an obstacle that seems that it will never move, it will never go away? You just wake up every day and it continues to be ever in front of you. Is God calling you to a time of confession or repentance? Is it a sin? Is it a failure that keeps facing you? Is it a need to worship? Folks, this is something that I think that we fail to recognize, is that in times of difficulty, even in times that we're facing an impossible and movable object, we need to worship. Have you ever noticed in Scripture over and over, whether it was a time of utter repentance, that they're tearing their clothes as a sign of repentance, they're in sackcloth and ashes, the first thing they did is they worshiped. If it was a time of victory and joy, which we're going to see right after this deliverance of the Red Sea, first thing they do is they get on the other side of the Red Sea, they break out in worship and praise, and it's called Moses' song, and they praise the Lord for His deliverance. They worship. When we're unsure, when we're finding difficulty, God calls us to worship. Are you truly worshiping? Are you truly magnifying Him? What is your next step forward? Do you need to make a deeper dedication? A deeper service or surrender? Maybe you need to seek godly counsel of determining what that next step is. My question to you is, are you searching and listening to the Spirit today and asking the question, what is my next step? Folks, we need to be moving forward. Much the same way that I mentioned to you about this pandemic. How frustrating it is that it feels like we're not moving forward, but it feels like we're moving backward. But God has His way, God has His purpose, and He will succeed. Amen? And so we get on our knees and we search, we seek the Lord. And then when He says, get up and move, we move. Amen? We stand fast. He says, you stay, we stay. But whatever His direction is, we follow. God's protection is our second point. as the pillar of cloud moves back behind. He comes between the Egyptian camp and the Israelite camp, and he gives protection to them. He gives light during the night to the Israelites, and it's darkness to the Egyptians, so much so that they cannot even come before them. Can you imagine the Egyptian soldiers? They're just chomping at the bit. Every household in the land of Egypt had just lost the oldest child, the oldest, and even in the livestock. So they're mad. They're upset. They want to get even, and they're ready to go, but yet God stops them. He protects Israel. And as we were looking at this, I got to thinking that not only is there protection in this, but there's wisdom in this. God moves behind them to protect them, but also God is moving behind them to keep them from going back, to keep them from running from the situation. You know something, folks, that we notice that in Scripture, as we see God working, often we're looking for a way out. Would you agree? When a situation is stressful, when we're facing a problem in life and that we just can't seem to get past it, first of all, we either react in fear, which is either fight or flight. Folks, you'll even see this a lot in our own homes, in our marriages, that we fight and we struggle, but in reality, we're avoiding what needs to be done. We're avoiding dealing with the truth. We're avoiding with doing whatever our responsibility is. And often we either fight or we try to leave. We run. Have you ever noticed that at a church home, when a believer is serving and they fail and they're struggling, they stop coming. They start straying away. And why is that? Because our tendency is when we're unfaithful, we automatically assume people don't love us. We automatically assume that God is not pleased with us. He doesn't love me anymore. When the reality is that whether we're obedient or disobedient, as God's children, you always remain God's children. If you're not His child, then you have concern. But yet God still offers that opportunity of salvation. He offers that opportunity of forgiveness. And so He knows our need. He knows our problems. He knows those difficulties, and He's working not only to protect us on the front end, but He's also protecting us to keep us close. His protection to the children of Israel was a delight. When God opened that sea, it describes that the sea became a wall to them, one on the right and one on the left. You know, I've seen a lot of renditions. I've seen a lot of pictures and paintings and things of this. What a grand and incredible event. I would have loved to have been there, wouldn't you? It would have been amazing to see how God make this, to defy all laws of nature and physics, to overcome all of the things that we find impossible, He makes possible. But can we realize that to the Israelites, it was walls of protection to deliver them. But for the Egyptians, it became the walls of their tomb. It was their destruction. We see God's judgment coming upon the Egyptians to prove that He is the one true God. Pharaoh sends his last and final effort to destroy God and God's people. He sends out His greatest army. We see that over and over. Do you notice in Scripture we kept repeating, well, I'm going to destroy Pharaoh's chariots and his horsemen and his soldiers. Why did He keep repeating that? Because that was the last of Pharaoh's strength that he had left. He gave it all that he had. And yet, in this day and age, that was a very intimidating, it was a very terrifying and powerful event. And so as He sent out that army, He sent out the chariots. It was as if we were today seeing the fighter jets and tanks and all of the highest technology that we have today. That's what Pharaoh was sending in their day and age. And God says, He's going to send His best, but I'm going to bury him in the middle of that sea. And He did. Folks, we need to be sure that we're not caught on the wrong side of God's plan. Amen? We need to be sure that we're going to be found fighting, not fighting against God, but fighting against sin and fighting against the worldly influences. Now in the scripture, it reveals to us that the Egyptians, finally, as they got into the middle of the sea, they cried out and said, "Oh no, we need to go back because the God of Israel is fighting against us." But in scripture, we find out it was too late. They come to the realization once God had exercised his power upon them, but it was too late for them to return. It was too late for them to escape. The opportunity of forgiveness was gone. You know, we see much the same in the time of Noah as he built the ark. He sat on the ark for 7 days. The door was open. God was offering any and all who would enter that ark would be saved from the destruction that was to come. But none came. No one came. But then when God closed Noah upon the ark, people realized this is serious, but it was too late. My friend, do not find yourself on the wrong side of eternity. Only Jesus can deliver us. Only Jesus can save us. And only when we follow His plan and His purpose. The gospel message is His plan. The gospel message is the power that gives us salvation. There is no other way. There is no other path. There's only one. My last thought, God delivers Israel. In Exodus chapter 14, let me read verses 27 through 29 once again for you. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full strength while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Isn't that exciting? You know, the same God that delivered them is the same God who can deliver us today. Deliver us from sin. Deliver us from eternity, suffering the consequences of that sin, which is separated from God in a place called hell. Folks, God can deliver, and He does so through His Son, Jesus. Jesus came, He lived a perfect life upon this earth. He is the most perfect man that ever walked the earth and ever will walk the earth, but yet when He went to the cross, He died and He suffered as if He was the worst sinner of all. And He did so not because He sinned, but that He was dying and paying for all of our sins. Amen. The innocent died for the guilty. And because of that death, He paid the penalty that was ours to pay. He took our place. And in that, He died, He was buried, and He arose again. A living Savior to receive and to hear our prayer of confession of sin. When we come to Him, we lay our sins before Him, and then we call Him Lord, and we follow Him. Folks, only He can deliver, but He does, and He continues today. But here's another thought that I wanted us to draw from this. As God was leading them through the Red Sea, we can take notice in learning that God will generally lead us through a problem and not around it. The struggles that you're dealing with today, you're going to continue to struggle until we allow God to overcome that. Amen? God's deliverance may not come the way that we expect or anticipate, but we can fully trust that He will deliver. God's not going to deliver us from every problem. He will either go with us through the struggle, or He will give us the grace that we need to endure. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Can we relate to Paul's prayer? Can we relate to Paul's struggle with difficulty and shortcomings and ailments and suffering that he wanted gone? Who knows how great Paul would have been or could have been? But yet Paul says, no, it's not that I would have been better without this, but I come to realize is that I am better because of this weakness, because I ran to God. I turned to God and asked Him to do what only He can accomplish and only what He can do. I set myself aside and let Him have center stage. And you know what, folks? When we look at the problems that we're facing, the obstacles that are before us, the first thing that we worry is, how is this going to affect me? How am I going to be? How am I going to survive this? How am I going to feel? How am I going to do what I need to do or want to do? And instead, God calls upon us to look to Him and say, God, how are You going to be glorified in this today? How are You going to use me to bring pleasure to Yourself today? Are you with me? He gives us a whole nother angle, a whole nother view that we can look at the difficulties of life when in reality they're not difficulties, but they drive us home to Him that we might be even closer to Him. But here's the reality. He says that those of you that will follow Me, He says, look, today you will see My salvation. Those that didn't walk through the sea did not see salvation. Amen. Only the Israelites saw that salvation because they followed Him. They trusted Him. They obeyed Him. The obstacles we will learn proves God's power and sovereignty over all things. Do you realize that this miracle followed Israel all the way into the promised land? Remember Jericho? Joshua sent his spies in. They spy out the city. They were discovered, so they run up to the woman of the night, if you will, a prostitute's home, and she says, we have heard what your God has done. We heard that He divided the sea, and you walked through it. We heard that He divided the Jordan River. You walked through it. We know what your God has done, and the nations, the hearts of the people melt because of Him. Israel didn't do that. God did. Amen. Folks, I wonder today of how great the church's impact could be if we simply will follow Him through any and all obstacles, allowing Him to roll back a pathway through every problem that we're facing to see Him to prove Himself not only to us as His church and His people, but allow Him to prove Himself through us to our community, that all will see that He really is the one true God. Too often we think that we've got to do some great thing. We have to be some great church, when in reality, we're going to be exactly what He calls us to be. We're going to be only what He desires us to be. And we will accomplish only what we allow Him to do in and through our lives. I want to ask you, can we grow forward while facing obstacles? Yes, we can. Here's a promise that I seen that God had given in Deuteronomy chapter 33. He was giving to Israel, and I can't help believe that He's giving this strength to us. He says, your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun. Now, let me preface this just a little bit before we go on and finish the verse. Your sandals shall be as iron and bronze. He said, everywhere you walk, you're going to have a commanding and an overpowering presence. Isn't that kind of exciting? It's like, oh, wow, what could we do with that? But it's not what they were going to do with that, but what God was going to do. And Jeshurun, He said, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun. That is another name for Israel, okay? So the God of Israel, and He describes Him, who rides the heavens to help you, and in His excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Have you ever seen anyone or heard of anyone so powerful? So majestic that He rides the heavens to help us. Isn't that exciting? Have you ever seen a child that was hurt and they give out a scream? And you see a mother that is not athletic, a mother that is not active, a mother that is just kind of passive for a moment, but the second she hears her baby scream, she sprints like a marathon runner and will plow down anything and anyone between her and her baby and will not rest until she knows everything is okay. Can you relate? What's the one thing that we are to fear in the animal kingdom above all other things? The mother, right? We hear the expression, don't get between a mother bear and her cubs. Why? There's a lot of passion there. Isn't it exciting to see the Creator of all things, the God of Israel, the God who has established His church, and nothing will get between Him and His children when we have need. God is able to give strength that we may face obstacles each and every day, no matter the struggle, no matter the problem. He is our rock, He is our fortress. No matter how big, how difficult, or how scary, God is bigger, God is better, and God has all power. But I want to walk you through a few steps this morning. I want you to allow the music to just play in the background. And we're going to ask the Lord, open my eyes, Lord. Open the heart, the eyes of my heart, that I might see exactly, God, what it is that you have for me in this message today. I want you to ask yourself today, how is it that I move forward? You know, I challenged you early in the message. Maybe there's a place and time of confession. Maybe there's simply that you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You need to start there. You need to find yourself on the right side of eternity. You need to find yourself right with the Lord Jesus. If you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there's no way for you to move forward. The sea of sin is before you. It's impassable. It's impossible that you can cross it. And without Jesus as your Savior, you'll never be able to overcome it. So my friend, if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, this is the step that you need to take to move forward. Secondly, believers, I want you to examine your lives. What is that next step? What has God convicted you of today? And if He's convicting you of something today, I want to ask, what is the simplest action step that you can take this week? You know, sometimes these obstacles are so big, they get so confusing, we've been involved in them for so long, we think that I could never overcome this, but yet if God is convicting us in something small, we're thinking, well, God, that's not enough. I'm so far out of it. I'm so far gone. I don't think this is going to do any good, but yet if He's convicting you, no matter how small it seems, that's where you need to start today to move forward. Some of you have maybe taken that and you're ready to move forward with that. I want to ask you, are you putting faith in action? Are you living out what God is calling you to do in your home, in your personal relationships, in your church? Are you living out what God is convicting us to do? What God has called us to do? If they never would have taken the step to start into the sea, they never would have reached the other side. What is it that God has called upon you? What is it that as being a church member that you're not doing that you need to be doing today? I want to end with a word of encouragement. God is willing to empower us to walk through any challenge that we may be facing today. The children of Israel did absolutely nothing to get them through that sea that day. In fact, all that they did and said was working against what God was trying to do. And folks, I'm here to tell you I can relate to that. I look at my own thoughts, I look at my own feelings, I look at my own words, and I realize I'm fighting against Him instead of just surrendering to Him and say, God, here I am. I'm willing to be your servant. I'm willing to be whatever you want me to be. But if you want me to go forward, I'll go. These can be some challenging words. But realize we're not making and taking this challenge based upon what we can do. We're taking this challenge based upon what He has called us and will empower us to accomplish. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy. The reality of obstacles that stand in our way. Lord, sometimes they're very big and they're very powerful, but sometimes they may seem very small, but yet for some reason has turned us from You. Has turned us from the paths of obedience that we know that You are calling us to walk. Lord, may You empower Your people with a strong faith. Would You empower Your people with Your Spirit? Help us to overcome those fears that have haunted us for years and to resolve them once and for all in You. Lord, this power doesn't come from us, but we look to You, the author and the finisher of our faith. It is by You and through You that all things persist. So, Lord, we ask that You would guide us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for working with us gently. Oh, Lord, how I can be so stubborn, but yet how powerful and loving that You are. Lord, we love You. We ask Your blessing on Your church and on Your people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.